The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
Welcome to ReviewParty.com. This is a podcast where we review reviews. We go to Amazon. We go to Google. We go to Yelp. And we check the reviews. And we talk about them. We make them funny. What's your favorite funny, Matt?
My favorite funny is Doug.
So, this is the 13th episode. Welcome, welcome.
Ooh.
Glad you're here. And 13's an unlucky number.
Spooky.
I always felt like 13 got a bad rap. What did 13 ever do to anybody?
It's one more than 12. I don't know.
But at the end of the day, I'm kind of a superstitious guy. So I thought to drum up some good juju at the top of the episode. We would I'd read our horoscopes for the day.
Sick. Yes.
We are recording this on September 6th, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
It'll go up on Tuesday, the 8th, correct? And so, these are our horoscopes for the day. You want mine first or yours first?
We'll take yours first.
You're good, because I'm on that one. I'm a Taurus. I'm not crazy into astrology, but it's funny because I'm a pretty textbook Taurus, pretty by the book, stubborn and sexy, you know.
Ugh.
As we are. And it's, my horoscope says you should be feeling especially romantic and sensual now, Taurus, and you might draw on admiring glances from those around you, even strangers. Your passion is high, so this is an excellent day to plan a romantic evening.
Wow.
Yeah, you could also feel especially creative and want to spend your day in some sort of artistic activity. Isn't that sweet? What a sweet way to end.
Hey-o.
It. Go to it, it says. Go to it.
Cool.
Yeah, cool.
Watch out for those peeping Toms admiring you through your windows.
I went to the gas station and got a coffee today.
Hey, those strangers.
Yeah, maybe one of those strangers thought I had a nice butt.
Probably.
And, you know, I hope I get a couple strange, not that I'm interested, it feels good for my ego. I hope people check out my butt is what I'm trying to say. I think I have a nice butt and I'm not scared for people to enjoy it.
Right. I've seen you dance famously. the video of which we will locate someday.
Someday someone will dig up this wonderful video heavily featuring my ass in some tight shorts.
And my confused face, because they're my shorts.
Yeah, they are shorts. But I was like, man, do you have any Matt's? No, I'm a chonky boy. Matt's a fit lad. I'm a chonky Taurus. Matt's a fit. And I was like, oh, man, I bet my butt would look funny in Matt's shorts and thighs. And I was right. And yeah. Now we're famous.
So famous, the video got taken down.
Well, that was just me putting like three songs in it that are copy strikeable. But hindsight's 2020. I didn't monetize it, you know? We did nothing wrong.
We're just doing it for art.
Yeah, it's for the art. That's following my horoscope. Speaking of which, what is your zodiac sign?
It's the sign Virgo.
Virgo. Ladies.
Yep, we are in the realm of Virgo right now.
That's right. Did I miss your birthday?
No, you didn't. Don't worry.
Okay, good.
Don't worry.
What is it for the people at home?
It is the same day as Mexican Independence Day, ladies and gentlemen, which is different than the Cinco de Mayo day. Do some research, educate yourself. You'll find out when my birthday is.
Mine is just before Cinco de Mayo on May Day. Do some research and find out for yourselves. Your horoscope reads, your mind is likely to be going 1,000 miles an hour. Ideas for imaginative and innovative projects may come faster than you can possibly turn them into reality. Write them down. You may not have time to work on them now, but you will later. You could decide to attend a virtual lecture, sign up for an online class, make plans to join friends, and attend another kind of small group activity if possible. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's pretty spot on. It's like, hey, buddy, really? how's that brain working for you?
How's that? So you're just feeling like you, not that either of us know what it's like, but you just feel like you're on some frickin' crack, as the kids say.
Maybe not that much. It's like, hey, there's an idea. There's a thing. There's a... Okay.
I thought that's what crack was like.
Maybe.
Maybe a little less. I think the ideas are just more like, oh, try and eat that squirrel. Oh, go to the gas station. Jump in the water. Scratch your back.
Everyone's trying to kill you.
right.
And by everyone, I mean your own eyeballs. Scoop them out.
Yeah, you just had some really nice, like, pixie dust, like, make you feel good crack.
Pixie sticks.
I bet there's got to be different strains of crack. Yeah. What Breaking Bad's about.
I think so.
That's what it's all about, folks.
That's what it's all about.
Thank you. I wanted to sing, but then, you know, my embarrassment muscle stopped me, so I'm glad you took the initiative.
Yeah, that muscle is very weak in me.
I've got a review to start us out, if you don't mind.
I do not.
This is a review from the old Yelp. And this review was submitted to us by Josh Barnard, a friend of the Brent. And a friend of your co-host is a friend indeed, as they say, so friend mm-hmm. of the podcast. Here it is. It is a review written by Spike H. And this Yelp review... Don't laugh at me!
Laugh me at Spike.
Oh, old Spiker. So this is a review for, this is a Yelp review for the Caribou Tavern in Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey.
And he writes, the bow has always been among the most off-putting dives in Madison. It's closer to a college neighborhood and drew a mixed crowd, but that made it feel tense and weird. The drunks and addicts who hung out there in an uneasy truce with the kids looking to have some fun. It's dark and uninviting, the food is standard bar fare, and the drink selection is terrible. Only Woody Ann's and the Atwood are worse. It's a place you go when you need a good scare, or to walk on the wild side. I've always felt unsafe in there, and you should too. 1 star.
Oh, wow. Come on, though. Madison is just one big college bar.
More or less, it's a pretty government building surrounded by college bars.
College bars. Tipsy Cow gets my vote for most clever bar name, because you like tipping cows, and this one's just drunk. Oh. But anyway, to the review.
That'd be a great beer name. Where are you at, New Polaris?
Solely in Wisconsin.
Exactly. You can't have that. I can.
Smuggling it across the border, getting arrested in Minnesota or something.
People do that.
I know it.
With New Glarus. Like, people come up from Illinois and buy crates of it.
Look out, New Glarus! Go!
Yeah, like, gas stations around the border get cleaned out all the time. They have to have a bunch of back stock. And not to disparage a great Wisconsin beer, but it's not that great, people. It's a good beer, for sure. I especially like their, what is it, their Moon Man. Their Moon Man IPA is a nice solid IPA. Okay. It's not worth recreating the Prohibition for, dudes. Chill.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's the scarcity. I have a coworker who's time and time again told me about when he was in college, downstate Illinois, and people would sometimes go west of the Mississippi, and they'd load up with that Coors. That you couldn't get.
Coors, you know, I shout out New Glarus. New Glarus is great, despite what I said. Much love, New Glarus. Coors, no love. No love. That stuff sucks.
I had some RC Cola recently, and that's the closest I can get to something scarce that I indulged in. Oh, all right.
my gas stations around me have had surge lately. I don't know if it's limited time. I don't know what, but I've been indulging in that little beauty.
Anyway, the best part of that review, the leading line, if you ask me, is that this is a good place to go when you're in the mood for a good scare or to take a walk on the wild side.
A little wild. Take a walk on the wild side.
That is the coolest thing somebody could say about a bar, I think.
Yeah, and I feel like he gives you so many reasons to want to go there and then one stars it.
Yeah.
This bar has a powerful atmosphere that draws him and others in. I think you can't one star that.
You've got the Jets and the Sharks on either side, and they're like about to snap off. Yeah. Things are so tense. You can be a fly on the wall for, I don't know, some college kids doing a flash mob while the local yokels just depressingly vomit back into their bottles.
How great is it to have a casual pint with the boys, a la Fellowship of the Ring? Meanwhile, there's a superpowered brawl between addicts and drug addicts smashing chairs on each other going on behind you. You're just casually having a pint with the boys. That sounds fun to me. You know, a lot of people like that.
Crazy night. Memorable. It's memorable.
And how can you give a place that you've gone multiple times one star?
Yeah, that's...
If we're going to pick on this.
It shows error in your own judgment, either for going there or for giving it the rating that you gave it. Spike.
Yeah, can't all be as cool as Spike. You don't know any dudes with the nickname Spike?
One of my first stage role in a play, it was Spike.
From the Rugrats.
Not that one, no. That would have been a lot different.
Bruce Willis played Spike, so, I mean, you'd be in league with the Wilster.
That's right. Spike doesn't like this bar. Ugh. That's all I think.
Is that your Spike? Is that how Spike sounds?
That's how this Spike sounds.
I always thought a Spike is a name for, like, a cool skater guy.
That's how the Spike was it that I played. Spike was like, right. He's trying to be an actor on Entourage 2. And Masha just, like, she just throws her hands all over him any chance she gets.
Hey, Spike's living the good life.
Yeah.
But not this, not Spike H of Madison, Wisconsin.
No.
This dude is being a sucker. Being a punk. Putting him on my shit list.
Being a baby.
You got a little something for me?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to callously refer to Madison as a small town. And go with another small town review.
Ouch. My Wisconsin heart.
I have a review for, this is a Yelp review as well. It's been a while since I brought one. So we're gonna stay on the Yelp.
I love Yelps.
Yelp lines. This is a review for the Market House Restaurant in Galena, Illinois. A place I have been. Kristen M. writes, the food was so great here that we ended up coming to eat here twice during our Galena vacation. My boyfriend was raving about their steak, saying it was excellent. Plus, it was only $12. The first time I was there, I had a BLT sandwich, and the second, I had a Reuben. Both were good, but I think the Reuben was better. They have this really cool garden room near the back. If you can, make sure to sit back there. Our waitress was great. She even remembered us the second time we came in. 5 stars. Now, as I say, I have been to this restaurant, and in Kristen's review here, she says it's so good they went back twice in the same vacation and the waitress remembered them.
Uh-huh.
I've also been to this place multiple times. The difference being they were 3 years apart and the waitress remembered me.
See, the first thing I thought of, and now I don't want the waitress to remember me ever. I don't want a waitress to remember me. If I come back there twice in a week, definitely don't want them to remember me. If I come back there after 3 years and they remember me, that's a different sort of uneasy feeling in my anxious little heart. I don't want a waitress ever to know I come back, unless it's like my regular joint, you know, where right. I'm going all the time.
Hashtag Marina Gardens.
Hashtag Marina Gardens of Kenosha. Hashtag... I don't know, man. Shell gas station.
The cafeteria.
And cafeteria ladies knowing you, that's just wholesome. But some freaky Midwestern waitress knowing you, I don't know. That's so some, the start of...
Some Twilight Zone realm. That's,
right.
That's the feeling this is giving you. You've stepped into the past.
Yeah, either that or just like my little kid with a hoodie on inside me who's like, let's just leave me alone and let me eat my Reuben.
Well, one of the key like marketable points of Galena is how it's very old timey.
Yeah.
And then that's why you go. It's got all these cool old storefronts and kitschy little stores.
So to achieve that effect, they're taking pictures of the guests unbeknownst and putting them in a book that all the waitresses have to study.
Share that or it's like time has stopped and anytime you go back, like no time has passed at all for them.
Okay. So it's like the Digimon world.
Or Code Lyoko, no, I don't know.
Quite correct. Code Lyoko, there's some kind of sci-fi thing, sci-fi reference for this. You do the homework, people. All right. If you're thinking at home of a great sci-fi reference where the time doesn't move, kudos, dude. You're cooler than us. Anyway, so the waitresses, time doesn't move, and so for them, it's been like a minute since you've been in there.
Yeah. Hello, welcome back. Your chair is still warm.
Oh, so you're picturing a nice, kindly old Midwestern lady. I'm picturing,
at first glance.
I'm picturing, like, the mom from Umbrella Academy. Like, some cyborg Botox face. Like, oh, welcome back. Step for wife's ass. Okay. Looking ass.
When you said mom from, I don't know why my mind went to one thing instantly, but I was expecting the Goonies.
The Goonie, the scary mom, the
Fratelli
the mom, yeah, the Fratelli mom.
Welcome back.
Got sloth chained up in the basement at that place.
That would make sense for this kind of eerie vibe. We remember you.
Yeah, they got some monster with a photographic memory in the downstairs watching the security cam with its thousand eyes and its greasy tentacles.
Ugh.
And they got a little chip in their ear that tells them, oh, yeah, they they were here September 19th, 2004. They ordered a Reuben sandwich and a BLT. The husband raved about the steaks. And they just, uh-huh. And they take it in, and then they seat you. That's when they pounce.
Mm-hmm.
They pounce. They make you feel like it's an old-timey place.
What was in that Arnold Palmer?
Some kind of Twilight Zone juice.
I'd drink that.
I could use a little spice in my life. I'd love to drink some juice that takes you on a Twilight Zone adventure. That's peyote, isn't it?
Yeah, you can put it in a juice, make some tea out of it.
Yeah. Have a listen to some
peyote. It's right there.
Peyote. Wow, man! Another million-dollar idea. I expect the check. Nestle. Coca-Cola, whoever's picking that up. Can't wait to get that check in the mail for that golden idea. It's kind of like when Quiznos in Colorado for 420, they did a mushroom sub special.
Oh, did they?
Quote-unquote magic. They advertised it like it was magic mushrooms, but it was just a... It wasn't real. It's just regular mushrooms. They're just having a bit of a fun.
Just regular mushrooms.
Yeah. So whatever peyote's nasty flavor is, make that into soda. Cut me a check. Good night. I got a little.
Yeah.
I got a little panda march. Yeah. I got a little panda march.
Panda march.
Meiji Hello Panda cookies, chocolate.
Oh like a little. They're like the koala yummies.
Yeah, exactly. Like the koala yummies. That's what I had from my childhood as well. But Hello Panda might be a little better.
Ho-ho.
Call out posts. I'm calling people out this episode. Strap in, folks. It's episode 13. We're off the goddamn rails. This is a review from Amazon written by M. Ortega. They title it, Too Much Extra Packaging. The cookies are really good, but they... But the bag they come in, inside a box, inside of a bigger box, really, it's too much waste. The planet doesn't need this. Please consider another option. 4 stars.
Please consider the pandas. What do they have to say about this? They're the poster child for dying animals. They didn't ask for that. Sorry,
Dodo. You're on the way out. Pandas, the new extinct motherfuckers around here.
And it's because of these panda march cookums.
Panda March Cookums. Like, that sounds way cooler than Hello Panda Cookies. They got the little stamps on these. They got little pandas playing sports.
Cute faces? Oh, so it's kind of like the fruit stripe gum zebra.
Yeah, a little bit like that. Soccer guy, hockey one, a little panda girl playing tennis. Go-kart panda.
What?
Skateboard panda.
These pandas are on the loose.
These extinct chocolatey freaks are all over the place. They're hiding among us.
Now,
for playing professional like sports.
The octagonal box with the package inside, is there an image of it?
Yeah, it's the octagonal, the classic octagonal box. That's and I've had these. Cool. It's just a plastic
silvery bag inside, right?
Yep. But I think they're all, if this is a review for a case of 10 specifically.
Okay.
So I think she means it comes in an Amazon box, and then the octagonal boxes themselves are in sort of a grocery store display case.
Okay.
Which, and then that contains the rectangle boxes, which contain the octagonal boxes, which contain the plastic, I think is why she's freaking out.
Oh, goodness gracious. You... Part of this is on you if you're not buying your panda cookies local.
Right. Locally sourced panda march cookies. Panda marchums.
Getting this from Amazon.
Yeah, that's right. I was about to say down with big Amazon, but we trying to get a sponsor from Amazon Podcast coming soon.
Yeah,
cut the check, baby.
We are not disparaging Amazon at all.
Of course not. That was totally tongue in cheek. You know, poking fun at those liberal snowflakes who don't like Amazon. Cut the check, Bezos. But yeah, I
find a market you can buy these at the pace at which you expect to consume them, which is pretty much instantly. As soon as you open that box, you're not like saving any for later.
I am pounding every panda in that all 10 boxes at once.
Looking down in the bag, and there's got to be more in there. Where do they all go?
I'm eating Hello Panda Marchum cookies at like popcorn, dude.
Some of them you crunch, crunch, crunch. Some of them with your front teeth and the incisors. Some of them you just let sit and dissolve in your mouth until it's just paste of the cookie and then the chocolate.
Know what I want to do? I want to wear a hoodie. And inside the hoodie pocket, an oversized hoodie. Hoodie is way too big for me. So a really big hoodie. And inside the hoodie pocket, fill it with Panda Marches. Got a little ready-to-go Panda Cookie Express. And just go to town. Just go to the movies and destroy those little pandas.
That sounds so good.
Just bring an extinction to the cookie population. These cookies are going to be endangered when I'm done with it. And back to the review, this is all recyclable material.
Yeah. Cardboard box.
Cardboard is very recyclable and repurposable. Don't you put your recycling out there at Mortega? Mortega? Sounds like a cool super villain.
Morticia.
Trying to take care of these pandas.
I think M. Ortega is trying to be like, I care. But do you?
I'm looking at the nutritional facts. There's 2% calcium, 6% iron in here. I'm thinking this is healthy.
2%, so you need to eat 50 boxes to get...
Hey, I'm trying to get sponsored by Hello Panda as well. Cook, you know, Koala March, whatever, whoever comes first. We're trying to make some money.
Get our yum on.
Yeah, don't yuck my yum there, Mortega. Give me a review.
You want some yucks and some yums? I've got America's Funniest Home Videos. Looks at kids and animals. A review provided by Walmart.com from Raisin Baby.
Is she a baby dried prune, or is she raising a child?
This is a good, this is very good, very good. Very good. We'll find out in the review.
Okay.
Which she titles, "Great if you like B. Saget."
What? That doesn't sound nice.
I got it from my little 2-year-old, so she is raising a baby. She's not like a California raisin.
Okay.
I got it from my little 2-year-old. She loves her funnies. Me, personally, don't care too much for Bob Saget. Gets on my nerves after watching it for the 100th time. Wish the site would say a little more information about the product. Examples, year, host. However, baby loves it and the clips are hilarious. Great product. 5 stars.
Okay.
I agree. Okay. I agree.
What? You don't like Bob Saget on America's 20-some videos?
He's smarmy.
Yeah! What, those voices are so iconic, dude. Play a funny video of a dog riding a unicycle and have Bob's hair go, "Where my dog riding a unicycle?" That shit. I like timeless. Timeless.
You rank Bob Saget over Tom Bergeron? To steal a great line from Key and Peele sketch, he gets his Bergeron.
Okay. Okay, if we're going to be serious about this, I would say Bob Saget is better, but if Tom Bergeron got those golden era years of Funniest Home Videos, I think he might have been better than the Sagman.
All right, I'm okay with that, you know?
Yeah, that's a decent take, right?
It's bringing to mind Family Feud. Like, are you a Steve Harvey man? Are you John O'Hurley? Because I love me some John O'Hurley, but...
I mean, Steve Harvey's kind of a scumbag, but he's so funny. He's so funny on that show. And it's the same bit every episode. They say penis or something, and he looks at the camera like, "Oh my lord!" Just like dumbfounded that someone would answer penis to a question that is leading to penis. And it gets me every time.
Yeah.
It gets me every time.
I've enjoyed Steve Harvey since the Steve Harvey Show with Cedric the Entertainer and whatever that actor, his character's name was Bullethead in the show. That's all I remember. Steve Harvey and Cedric the Entertainer were high school teachers, and one of their students they called Bullethead.
I don't know if I...
it was on before Martin on WCIU, I think.
Chicago. I remember when the show was on, but I did watch Cedric the Entertainer's show. There, not to just make a bit of explaining a bit, but there was one where he was explaining to the kids, like, "All right, the new rules is you can't eat the food when it gets under this line." So he's like drawing lines on all the boxes, and they can't. Once the food levels go under that line, like on a cereal box, that's dad's, right?
Okay, yeah.
And then he does it with soda, like a 2-liter of soda. And he's explaining, okay, with soda, above the top line, that's dad. Soda's the exception. When it's bottom, right. It's all flat. I don't want it. And the kids are like taking notes. But then he gets his tongue tied and says that he wants a flat soda. Oh, look it up, people. Look it up. We're hitting classic comedy. Cedric,
I feel like I've seen that.
Steve Harvey, Louis Anderson. But I don't know, man. Maybe I think America's Funniest Home Videos, the Tom Bergeron era, is a funnier show. It's tighter, more modern, more timeless. But that's exactly why the Bob Saget era is so good. It's so of its time. It's so such a style. It's got such a vibe.
Yeah. Looking back, I think I can appreciate Bob Saget for what he brought.
Thank you. We're changing hearts about Bob Saget on the ReviewParty.com podcast. This podcast has all been a long con to change Matt's mind about Bob Saget. My work here is done.
Only for America's Funniest Home Videos.
You don't like him other places?
Full House, sure, he's fine. Fuller House, I haven't seen.
That's what I would. That's the one place I would say he sucks is Full House.
It's just because I can watch the others.
I'm gonna treat you to a little Bob Saget stand up. A little Bob Saget tells the Aristocrats joke.
Oh boy, we're gonna take a break for this, folks.
See you on the other side.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. Reviewparty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the other side of the show. It's time for a segment that has no name, but I guess I'll just call it Personal Petty Reviews. If you listened to last week's show, you heard reference to my pettiness when I went and saw a play that I had previously been in before, something that had never happened to me, being a bit of a greenhorn in the theatrical, scripted, staged theater world. And I made reference to a review that I wrote to share with my castmates after seeing this other production. And I have brought it today for everyone's enjoyment. This is my review of the play Sweet Surrender by Michael McKeever. The play is described as such. It's 1942, and two of Hollywood's biggest divas have descended upon the luxurious Palm Beach Royal Hotel. Assistants, luggage, and legendary feud with one another in tow. Everything seems to be in order for their wartime performance. That is, until they are somehow assigned to the same suite. So Sweet Surrender is spelled like a hotel suite.
Very clever.
It's one of those, you know, 40s farcical slamming door numbers.
40s farcical slamming butts.
That's called a pizzicle or whatever that kid's name was.
Pizzicle. Let's go.
So this is my review of someone else's production. Sweet Surrender is a show that will have you talking long after the final curtain drops. Why did director, name redacted, add an intermission where the script has none? How did the two divas each change costumes twice when a key plot point is that their luggage is never successfully brought to the suite? And why utilize a real dog when that whines backstage for the final two appearances of Mr. Boodles, especially when audience cooing will drown out all subsequent lines being delivered? These questions and more will follow you home with a quick pacing that this farce desperately lacks. From high society Mrs. Osgood's ankle tattoo showing through her stockings, to the bellhop's unshaven faces, to the lackadaisical manner of the apparently not too put upon Messrs. Dunlap and Pippet, it will occur to you that something is bound to go wrong at the Palm Beach Royale. Quick note on the set. The white walls with red accents felt bold, a departure from typical Floridian decor. And the two suites? Doors were side by side, but one of which faces east, left this geographically inclined viewer somewhat confused. But confused is a theme of the night, as characters all choose varying levels of emotional commitment and volume. You'll wonder if this Otis is an attempt at portraying a real human, as the young actor runs around the stage, screaming in a pitch matched only by the actress playing Claudia McFadden. Each time she called her assistant, we can assume she yelled, "Pippet!" based purely on context, but it wasn't actually discernible. And speaking of Mr. Pippet, he was played so subdued that by the time the show reaches its climax, something he fails to do on the two occasions he should be under severe duress, his redemptive moment is unearned and unnoticed. What is noticed is the many inventive distractions. Murphy exiting into one of the bedrooms, then re-entering from the hall. Dunlap and Pippet drinking when the two divas finally meet and face off. And those two divas dropping the pretenses of their feud and falling into questionable Southern Belle affectations. When a comedy uses its timing appropriately, magic can happen. It doesn't happen here, so learn from their mistakes and spend your time elsewhere. One final note should be given to the audio production. While the show set did feature a full grand piano, the actors on stage did not take full advantage. Instead, music was piped in, featuring piano, then merging with full-blown orchestrations. The divas can sing, but these moments were tonally bizarre and belonged in another show. The best laugh of the night was the producer's pre-show announcement, asking that all mechanical devices be turned off, with the exception of pacemakers. And I would be remiss not to mention the old soft pants and sweater man selling tickets who inquired about the material of my tropical shirt. Well, it's either rayon or polyester. I'd never felt so welcomed. Only at the Palm Beach Royale.
Hey, that pacemaker joke hit, though.
Yeah, that was truly one moment that I actually laughed out loud. And the other times, I was laughing at things I probably shouldn't have been laughing at.
It's the Matt Dunkstorm hour, dude. They're like Zeus hurling critiques at the stage. Glad okay. I'm not on the other side of that.
Let me just, like, you've got these two divas in one hotel suite, and you don't want them to run into each other because they always fight. And the suite has one room that faces east, one that faces west. It's clear in the script. One diva arrives first and she goes into the eastern suite. So then when the second one arrives, you know, you've got that apprehension because the other one is just in that other door. And as the second diva goes to that door, her assistant's like, oh, that one faces east. You hate the sunrise. Go to the one on the west. And you're like, ho-ho, disaster averted. It does not have the same effect when the doors are side by side. It just doesn't work. Unless there's some interesting layout going on.
Oh, yeah. I love a good hallway to a room. You know what I mean?
Yeah. A lengthy corridor.
Yeah, I love a good lengthy corridor with a nice snap corner.
C around the bend.
Hell yeah, dude.
I don't know.
Hey, you know what I know? They tried their best.
Yeah, I almost feel a little bad for bringing this up from the depths of my internal vitriolic pit of bile and acid.
It's a good exercise to get it out there, I think.
It was a good exercise to write it.
Yeah. maybe not broadcast it.
Yeah, maybe not. Shout it out. If anyone was in that production, your costumes were great. I did like some moments, and I can tell you about them if you send us an email.
Yeah, rubyparty.com@gmail.com. We'd love to get an email from someone in the production behind the scenes of that fiasco.
Let me know what happened.
Yeah, that would be wild. I feel like small percentage of it happening, but...
No. Yeah, very, very small chance. But hey,
which is exactly why you read it.
Yeah, exactly. If I run into you on the theater streets of suburban Chicago, I can run fast. So come at me.
Yeah, dude. All right. Speaking of having the runs, here's a review from Yelp.
Oh no!
No, it's not related. That was just a little segue.
Okay.
This is a review for Domino's Pizza. it's a Domino's Pizza in Las Vegas, Nevada. The review is written by Monique L. She writes, "Was hot upon arrival. The driver was nice. And I fell in love with the mango habanero sandwich. They make great sandwiches. 5 stars.
What? Who orders sandwiches from Domino's?
Monique L, dude.
She get a salad too? What? Nobody orders that stuff.
She did post a picture of the sandwich, cracked open, looking awful sloppy. A couple bites out of it. It's like it was taken from a 2007 Nokia.
Wow. Well, she's in Vegas, so she a gambler. She trying her luck with some Domino's, not pizza.
Man, I feel like if you want trash food in Vegas, you go for like the dollar buffets.
Yeah, you get so much, just float up on pudding or something.
She had a hankering for the mango hob.
There's mango nothing else. Banero. It's just a mango habanero sandwich.
Well, I think there's. It looks. Chicken, it looks like maybe cheese. Some chicken. Yeah, chicken. Literal mango slices. It just looks like jalapenos.
Cool. I was gonna say if it's just slices of mango with I don't know. That'd be cool. I guess.
It didn't even look like mango. It looks like pineapple. Looks like pineapple jalapeno chicken sandwich.
She doesn't even know what she's ordered anymore. She's been at the casino for 72 hours straight, and she had Domino's delivered to her slot machine.
And it was hot upon arrival.
Yeah, that's all you can ask for, unless it was supposed to be cold, in which case, that's bad. You've been walking out in that Vegas heat under those neon lights.
I guess rereading it, it really is hitting me now. She said, I fell in love with the mango habanero sandwich.
Going to the Chapel of Love?
I've never ordered anything from Domino's that made me feel love. Anything close to it. And I love a pizza. Domino's ain't my fave, but you know I smash, you know, if that's on the docket.
I like Domino's pizza, yeah. It's got the little garlic dusted crust.
Oh, don't get... Okay. I'm going to... Since it's that kind of episode, I'm about to soapbox people. All right? Domino's is fine. Domino's is what it is, but it is the worst pizza chain, all right? Pizza Whoa. Hut, way better. Pizza Hut, so much more personality. But let me finish my main point here.
Okay.
Domino's did that stupid ass, we're sorry, we suck. We're going to be not suck anymore ad campaign.
We sorry, we taste like cardboard.
Yeah. We sorry, we're absolutely fucking trash, sloppy, worst of the worst food. We're better now. Order and we're better. Domino's. That was, hey, it's Domino's. Get the pizza. It's not as bad. But all those motherfuckers did was put some fucking garlic butter on the crust. And they fooled everybody. All right? Everyone was tricked. Everyone thought Domino's was the hottest shit just because they got some cheap-ass garlic butter on their crust. Not even close, man.
What do you have to say about Wells Fargo?
Wells Fucko?
Yeah, I think that's worse than Domino's saying, hey, we'll try better. We'll change the resp a bit.
But Wells Fargo doesn't get me because I don't think anyone was tricked, right?
Right. Domino's,
it was during our college years, it was right after that campaign. Everyone was like, oh, Domino's, they're the best. And I was like, yeah, why? Because they got garlic butter on their crust. And they're like, dude, right? You garlic butter, oh, so good. You fucking, some fucking dime a dozen goddamn garbage. Garlic butter isn't enough to save their cardboard ass pizza.
I mean, I know we diverged. We diverge on Papa John's wildly.
Listen, if we're going to talk about... A big middle finger from reviewparty.com from us to you, Papa John himself.
Well, yeah.
You racist prick. That's all I'll say about that.
Celebrity bucket of shame number
8. Yeah. But hey, it's Shaq now, baby.
I'll go with that.
Papa Shaq, Shaq-a-roni. I just think, even if Papa John's isn't your favorite, to me it is the quintessential delivery chain pizza. It is exactly what you think of when you think of a delivery chain pizza. And maybe that's Domino's for a lot of people.
You think Little Caesars is better than Domino's?
Yeah, I do. I have a soft spot for Little Caesars.
Crazy. So, okay. They're cute. They're cute.
I mean, it's for $5.
It's the pizza chain next door. Yeah.
Plus, I'm a Red Wings fan. I mean, you gotta like Little Caesars. Okay. Because it's all over the stadium. Okay. No, but Little Caesars doesn't hold. That's the trick of Little Caesars. Little Caesars Day 2 is unedible. But the sauce is sweet. The cheese and the sausage is really good. What more do you need?
Not much, I don't think.
That's what I'm saying. Where's your favorite pizza chain?
Pizza chain? Ugh. I mean,
and this is excluding, of course, you know, sort of the next level, next tier, like Toppers, you know, I feel like is out of the tier of what we're talking about here.
So we're talking about low budget pizza chains?
Yeah, yeah, like, you know, $12 large, $13 large is the upper end of what we're talking about here.
Jeez Louise.
I feel like it's Pizza Hut, Domino's, Papa John's, and probably, you know, a couple others.
What about take and bake, like Papa Murphy's?
Papa Murphy's is among that. Papa Murphy's, to me, I get hungry for it like once a year because it tastes like school cafeteria pizza.
It's a different style. Yeah. Like, hey, it's movie night. We're going to go out and get a take and bake.
Get a take and bake. But I usually don't get it because I feel like, well, half the good part of getting pizza from a place is they got the oven for it.
Yeah, this is true. It's like, I'm randomly in Iowa somewhere. Look, there's a Papa Murphy's, and I'm staying at a small place that happens to feature an oven. Okay, this is what we're doing.
It is more fun.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Get some popcorn.
It's like you're making a pizza without all the work. I think that's the appeal to me. And it tastes, sometimes you get a hankering for that sloppy jalopy school cafeteria taste.
It's just falling off.
Yeah.
I don't know. I try to avoid chain pizza.
Yeah. Yeah, I do try to go local. But the local place I really like is a little pricier.
Guess like no, I don't even have an answer.
Well, you gotta review to steer me off of this soapbox before I go insane and condone more companies and CEOs and
where do I want to direct us? Okay, well, since we've got food on the mind, I will take us far, far away from that. And hey, this might be the first Amazon review of the episode. Is that accurate?
Oh, no, the panda was. Panda
oh,
was
yeah,
Amazon.
You're right. Shows how much my brain's firing.
Hey, we just had some passionate we've been taken out of this podcast a few times.
Yeah. Anyway, I've got an Amazon review for Gloves in a Bottle Shielding Sunscreen, SPF 15.
I'm already disgusted.
Prepare to get worse. Lisa Johnson titles her review, "This lotion is like magic. This stuff is amazing. My husband is a UPS driver, and his hands take a beating in the winter from handling all the boxes. He also has some eczema. If he touches dish soap or a chemical, his skin will peel down to the meat. This product has kept his hands from peeling at all and keeps them super moist. I am very impressed with this product. 5 stars.
Some sunscreen that she uses as lotion, right?
It's like a different kind of sunscreen that sort of, I don't know, forms a barrier. Or maybe it's just because it's a lotion with SPF, it forms a bit of a barrier on your hands.
Before I make our typical Saturday morning cartoon bit, I just want to say I'm so sad she said from handling his hands get nasty from handling boxes all day instead of handling packages. That would have been a great Freudian slip. R.I.P. to the fondling package joke. Mm-hmm. To move on, it sounds like this is some magic sci-fi Black Panther spray-on shield.
Yeah, like Teflon for your skin.
Yeah, imagine a spray-on bulletproof armor.
Spray-on shoes from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs movie.
Yeah, spray-on weird wives that make reviews about your hands and package fondling.
I do think that maybe she says he has eczema, so if he touches dish soap or a chemical, his skin peels down to the meat, which is disgusting.
To the meat.
But
yeah, it just makes me think of just, the picture of a man, the picture from medical textbooks of just like the muscles and
third
eyes.
Third degree
over
burns
the,
and stuff. Yeah.
Over the bones. Just a man walking around like that because he washed the dishes.
That's my point. Dude just lost his excuse for not doing dishes.
Oh, yeah. She keeps it right by the sink. So he can spray that shit on and do some dishes.
Honey, time for dishes. I like, but my hands, not anymore.
Man, it's so that shit's so thick it makes your gloves.
It's gloves in a bottle is what it's called.
Gloves in a bottle.
That is so weird.
I got it. I mean, honestly, it makes me want to try it. That is some wild sci-fi Jetsons level shit. Spray on clothes.
I have ordered this, actually.
Really?
I was buying sunscreen and stuff, and this was in the suggested. And I saw the review. I'm like, well, your hands are one of the most things exposed to the sun. Your hands and your face. Yeah. Those are going to, you're going to get crankly old people hands if you don't take care of them, if you don't SPF them up.
So this is en route.
So stuff. Yeah, I'm going to sample these, and I can. Put these in a one size fits all USPS and we can share reviews on these because even just the name intrigued me. I was hooked. So maybe marketing department's on point. Let's just think of something really weird. Like this is some Homer's Odyssey. Yeah, this gloves is in a bottle.
Props to the marketing department here. This is
some D&D level.
Yeah,
magic sounding stuff.
I'm hooked. I'm ready to go. Well, it's about that time.
Yeah,
folks.
I think we're both ready to go.
Yeah, we're both pooped. We're both kebopped, bushwhacked, etc. Bebop and Rocksteady here telling you that Elmo voice Splinter. Hey, folks, I just want to drop that in, that chucker in at the end. Do you know the original guy who played Elmo voiced Splinter in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies?
It's insane.
What range. What range. And with
Donatello.
Donatello, I love you.
Elmo is your friend.
They swapped. We're gonna have to make that YouTube video now, swapping Elmo and Splinter.
Hey, I'm there. We're getting right on it, folks. With that, thanks for listening to our podcast. We appreciate it so much. If you'd like to submit a funny internet review for us to talk about on this very show, please email a hyperlink to the review to reviewparty.com@gmail.com. Include your name so we can give you some credit for it.
If you want more than just our voices as content, that stuff is out there waiting to be found, waiting to be liked, waiting to be loved. Our Twitter is @ReviewPartyPod. Our Instagram is @ReviewParty.com. And if you go on our website, ReviewParty.com, you can get all the episodes. You can read our blog. You can subscribe to the After Party Review, the newsletter that gets sent out after all our hard work is done and we just ready to party.
Party!
And, you know, share things with you, like the stuff we've been working on. Maybe we'll have some new shop stuff to talk about. Maybe we'll have some, like, YouTube stuff to talk about. Who knows? You'll have to subscribe to find out.
I just had a great idea for a blog. What if I, it would be titled Dominoes, the greatest trick ever pulled. It's all about their fucking garlic butter. Speaking of subscribing, subscribe where you're listening, dog. Subscribe on, follow on, or follow on Spotify. Subscribe on iTunes. Kiss your wife. And then wherever you're listening, hit that follow, hit that subscribe. We do appreciate it.
Right. And as long as you're kissing your wife, why don't you also tell her to listen to the show? Tell your friends to listen to your show. I know you might be thinking, man, I already told all my friends. I only have the three. Well, I'm about to ante up. Tell your exes about the show. You can say, I know you don't want to call them, but say, hey, I was thinking about something wonderful. It wasn't you. It was this podcast. You should listen to it. If somebody does that, I am willing to call my exes and tell them about this show. You heard it here. It's recorded.
if you listen on Spotify, hit that share button to Instagram or Facebook. You can share it in your story. Get it out there that you like our little show.
So easy.
Big thanks to our buddies Nosebleeds for letting us use the Jam Bread for Breakfast for our theme song. You can check them out on Spotify.
Thanks, guys.
I got a review to finish us off here. I hope everyone enjoys it. It's a bit of a longer for a finisher.
Finish him!
I think the Elmo guy voiced that guy, too. This is a review by Amazon customer. It is a review for the Y&M Weighted Blanket Heavy 100% Oikotex Certified Material. A twin bed size weighted blanket. They write, "Have you ever wanted to fart at the beginning of the night and save the fart for the next day? Your current blanket probably isn't cutting it. The cheese, that is. With this blanket, though, you will have no problem saving those air biscuits for later use. This blanket can store fresh toots at 36 PSI for 38 hours. These fresh farts will saturate your epidermis for a nice stale fart aroma to be your companion the next day. Were you also thinking of taking your Dutch oven game to the next level? This blanket will take you straight up to the big leagues this holiday season. Buy it for you and your wife, and make her regret it every night sleeping with you forever. It also helps me sleep a little better."
Oh, no! Okay, that's good.
Yeah, 5 stars. Thanks, everybody. I'm Brent.
Toot toot, I'm Matt.
Take it easy.